In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I started giving titles to these little talks, and I called this one Torturing Pigs. You could say, well, we're not torturing pigs. That's true. It says that... The demons said, what have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the time? So, but then the demons tortured the pigs. So here we are talking about torturing pigs again. Father just reminded me that this gospel or this story is read four times a year. And my lovely wife had said to me, it seems like you're always getting this assignment to talk about the story. Well, that's why. It's not that I'm being picked on. It just comes up a lot. So here I am talking about it again. And you know, when something is mentioned this often, it's even mentioned in the baptismal service, because Christ has the power over these demons. They couldn't even go into the pigs without his permission. So you know, when a story comes up around this often, you want to find something new to say. And it's hard to do sometimes, but it's not that we really need to say anything new, is it? Look at the way we do church, the way we dress. We're not trying to be new. We've been doing this a long time. So we can say the old again and again in peace. Let us pray to the Lord. That's what we do. But a few years ago, somebody did come up with something new. He quite graphically found a way to say something new and used this story as an illustration. He compared people on the internet to these demon-possessed porkers running down the hill screaming and jumping into the water. And quite frankly, at the time I thought that was a ridiculous comparison. Since then, I'm thinking maybe he might have been a little prophetic. The way that things are now on the internet is so nasty. Back then we had an Orthodox discussion group that was based on email. It was a listserv. You know, it was pretty tame compared to what goes on now. I mean, it could get a little argumentative, but things have gone downhill so fast. It's scary, it's frightening. And recently things have accelerated even more. We're in a time of crisis, and none of us know what's happening. Some people think we are in revolutionary times. Maybe we are. We don't know. We may be heading toward a time when Christians are persecuted. We're already seeing the beginnings of this. It doesn't always get on the news, but a man drove into the doors of an ancient Catholic church recently, got out of his car, poured gasoline everywhere, and set it on fire with people inside. This happened just recently, and the church probably will not be able to be rebuilt. There are people saying we need to tear down these icons. They're openly saying that now. Why? Because Jesus was of a certain race. I don't want to get into that, but we are being attacked. One of our most respected Antiochian priests, Father Josiah Trenum, strongly recommends that all of us need to read a book that was written about the Soviet Union times by Alexander Solzhenitsyn, The Gulag Archipelago. So I ordered it. It comes in three volumes, And they're it's long, so I only ordered volume one, but why is he telling us that? Because he sees the signs. We may be heading for something like that. We don't know. But we know that there are people who want that. They say so. But as Christians, we know that there are times when Christians are not persecuted, and there are times when they are. It always has been that way. It always will be that way. We don't know when it will come, but we know it will come. So we should always be prepared. We should always decide within ourselves, are we going to die for this? Returning to the story of the porkers, the ancient Hebrews had an aversion to porkers, to pigs. So do many modern Jews, if not most, even those who are not religious, often still don't want to be anywhere near a pig. This was because of what was taught in the law concerning certain things that could be eaten and not eaten, and it distinguished the Jews from all the people around them. I found this in the book of Leviticus. It's a little bit long, but it's kind of interesting. In chapter 11, the Lord spoke unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven-footed and cheweth the cud, among the beasts that ye shall eat. Nevertheless, these ye shall not eat of them that chew the cud or of them that divide the hoof. As the camel, because he cheweth the cud but divideth not the hoof. Camels have, they don't have a cloven hoof. You have to have both. He is unclean to you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud but divideth not the hoof. A coney is a type of rabbit. He is unclean to you. And the hare, because he cheweth the cud but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean to you. And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven footed, yet he cheweth not the cud. He is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass you shall not touch. They are unclean to you. There's many such rules in Leviticus. Most people don't enjoy reading that book, but it's one of my favorites, probably my favorite in the Old Testament. I find it all fascinating. They were told exactly how to build the tabernacle. And however, as a Southern Gentile, I find it hard to identify with not eating pork because a Southern boy loves his pork, especially barbecued. But as a Southern Orthodox man, I can identify with having religious customs that are different from the world around us. But why do we not follow the Jewish law? Well, a short answer was given in the epistle. Again, bear with me while I read a little bit. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. This is Paul. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but it is not enlightened. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law, that everyone who has faith may be justified. Since Christ, we are not saved through the law. We are saved by faith in Him, and He gave us the church so that we have a means for living out this faith. It is not merely a belief in my head, I believe Christ is God. It's a living, that faith. Now, another interesting point about this story. Did Christ have mercy on these demons? In a way, it appears that he did. They asked him, have mercy on us, and he said, okay, go into the pigs. And of course, they turned around and drove the pigs right in the sea, defeated their own purpose, so to speak. Evil always does this. It defeats itself eventually, but it can do a lot of damage in the meantime. So should we have mercy on the demons? They are exceedingly intelligent and crafty. We cannot win with them unless we are in Christ. We can't fight them on our own. We must not even trouble ourselves about them. Simply follow Christ. I've read that some of the saints prayed for them. Let's leave that to when we become saints. But not all of the saints did it, so it's beyond me. If we tangle with them on our own, we will lose. So we must not. We just trust in Him, in Christ. Today we remember the saint of Athos, the new saint, Paisios. He died on July the 11th, 1994. He's only been recognized as a saint for a couple of years by the Patriarch of Constantinople. He was born in 1924 in what is now Turkey, but back then it was, I don't know what the status was exactly. It was Cappadocia, and there was a lot of Greeks that lived there, and Armenians. After the war between Greece and Turkey in the 20s, there was a population exchange, which sounds kind of okay. It wasn't fun, though. A lot of people had to walk a long way, both directions. Saint Paisios was named Arsenios after a saint that was in his area. And he led the people to walk 400 miles. And they settled in a town in Greece that I forgot the name of. The Saint Arsenios predicted that Saint Paisios would be a monastic when he was born. And Saint Arsenios also predicted that he would die after leading the people to Greece, which he did. After World War II, Saint Paisios served in the army, the Greek army, in the Civil War. And he was known for his bravery, self-sacrifice, and righteousness. And he wanted to enter the monastic life, but he had sisters, and he had to make sure they would be taken care of before. So it was 1950 when he finally entered the monastic life on Athos. And he continued to show the same qualities he had always shown. Bravery, self-sacrifice, but he developed in silence, in prayer, and in being non-judgmental. Much later in life, when he lived as a hermit on Mount Athos, and he suffered greatly from physical ailments, but he spent most of his time listening to other people's problems. And when the people left, he prayed for those people and only slept 2 or 3 hours a night. He remained humble and compassionate and listened to these people when he was in great pain. It is said so great that sometimes he turned pale. I'm going to finish with some quotes from him. The first one, do not believe your thoughts. Neither when they tell you that you are terrible, nor when they tell you that you are a saint. Thoughts are like airplanes flying in the air. If you ignore them, there is no problem. If you pay attention to them, you create an airport inside your head and permit them to land. The goal is to rise spiritually, not simply to avoid sin. Live simply and without thinking too much. I need to hear this one. I think too much. Like a child with his father, faith without too much thinking works wonders. The logical mind hinders the grace of God and miracles. Practice patience without judging with the logical mind. When there is respect for small things, there will be an even greater respect towards the bigger things. When there is no respect for small things, then neither will there be for the bigger ones. This is how the fathers maintained tradition. The last one. We have the power of the Holy Cross, our holy symbol, the divine grace of Christ, only as long as we have the holy marking of the holy baptism, meaning we have denied the devil and sided with Christ. That's all we have to do. And receive the holy marking, the seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Through the prayers of our Holy Father, Paisios, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us.